Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Tim shares the Word of God. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Tim with today's message.
Our theme this year is Jesus is Lord. That's been our theme. The title of today's message is He. Is He? You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall." So here we are in church today thinking that we stand. We probably ought to take heed and make sure that that's not talking about us. You know, as we study people's lives and their relationship with God, you become aware that many think they're in some place with God that, in fact, they're really not. All of Jesus's most fierce confrontations were not with the heathen, not with the thugs. It was with those that think or thought that they were high up with God. I mean, Jesus called some of those religious leaders whitewashed sepulchers. Matthew 15:8, "You honor me with your lips, but your heart's far from me." Whoa. Here we are in here on Sunday morning honoring him with our lips. Where's our heart today? Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. "Brood of snakes, yeast." Oh, there's some things that you just flat don't want to hear Jesus say, especially when he's referring to you. You think you're really religious? I mean, you volunteer for cleaning day on Tuesday, and you volunteer for the nursery, and you're down here giving your money, and you hear every time the door's open, "Boy, I'm doing it." Jesus says, "You snake." Yipes. All of us think we stand. Let's take heed today. Our theme, Jesus is Lord. That's been 2016 theme. It's on our billboards. It's up here in front of us. We come in every day, and we see these. They're beautiful. They match. They really neat kind of design here. Well, is he? I mean, is he? The Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, his name was Saul at that time, but he came to a place. He writes about this in Philippians chapter 3. You know, he said, "Listen, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was a tribe of Benjamin. I was a Baptist of all Baptists. I mean, a Pharisee of all Pharisees. You know, I was the man. You know, I went to church every time the doors opened. I was a pure-blooded citizen of the church of Israel. But I didn't know the Lord." But he lists all these things that he was. Now, I mean, he was the deal. But I didn't know the Lord. And he came to that place in his life after doing all the religious activity that he did. You know, Matthew 7 says, "Many cry, Lord, Lord, now depart from me. I didn't know who you are." We are emphasizing this year Jesus being Lord. I want to ask today, is he? The question today, is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? You know, oftentimes people's relationship with God is completely through somebody else's relationship with the Lord, when in fact they have no relationship with God on their own, but they think they do because they hang out with somebody who does. Very interesting, as you study the Old Testament, you see a lot of types and shadows as you read through the New Testament, and it reveals God's plan in the New Testament. As we go back to Exodus, you can flip even through with me today, or you can go back and read the book of Exodus for yourself if you hadn't read it in a long time. But in Exodus chapter 1, the Hebrews were enslaved in Egypt under Pharaoh. Example of our being enslaved in bondage to the devil and being in bondage to hell and its forces in our earth, on this earth. We were enslaved to that. Chapter 2, God miraculously spared Moses' life at birth. An example of God miraculously sparing Jesus' life at birth. Chapter 3, God speaks to Moses through a burning bush, and he enters into the ministry, much like God spoke to Jesus, and he entered into the ministry at age 30. Through chapter 14, it's one miracle after the next of deliverance and escape through the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his armies were drowned in the sea. A real example of our salvation and Jesus defeating the devil and stripping the keys away from him. Moses delivered the Hebrews from slavery. Amazing. Chapter 15, the Hebrews are excited about what all has happened to them. I'm talking about chapter 15, verse 1. You can look at that. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both the horse and the rider into the sea. I mean, we made a song about that. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and he is my song. He has given me victory. Verse 18, the Lord will reign forever and forever. Verse 22, 3 days in the desert and they're complaining, no water. I mean, complaining, no water. Chapter 16, verse 1, 1 month after leaving Egypt, complaining to Moses about they don't have any food out here. After all God has done for them, 3 days with no water and they're complaining, turning against Moses, complaining about no food, turned against Moses. Clearly these people saw God. Clearly they saw the power of God. Clearly they witnessed a move of God, but they had no personal relationship with the Lord for themselves. Their relationship with God was through Moses and his relationship with the Lord. So often, youth's relationship with God is only through their parents, who make them go to church, who make them live godly. Too oftentimes, youth's relationship with the Lord is through the youth pastor, who, as long as the youth pastor is calling them on the phone, texting them, going to their school and having lunch with them at the cafeteria, showing up at their ball games, as long as he's doing that, we can keep our kids good. We see in Exodus chapter 32. If you hadn't read Exodus lately, go back and read that book. Moses goes up on a mountain to spend some time with God, to hear instructions for the people. Now, remember, all of these people, they saw God. They saw God powerfully move. They witnessed God's move in and around their own life. They were greatly affected by the move of God. Chapter 32, it says, when the people saw it was taking Moses a long time to come back down, they walked away from God. And in verse 2, Aaron, I mean, the associate pastor of the church, for crying out loud, he leads in the building of the idol. Y'all all bring your jewelry down here and we'll make us a gold calf to worship. See, Moses is not there every single day to make them be godly. Every single day to watch over them, to make sure that you're saved, to make sure that you're saved. Every day just keeping you on track. Moses is gone for 40 days. They're making them an idol. Just like the Hebrews, only relationship with the Lord was through Moses. Let me ask you today, and at some point in the sermon, I hope to offend everybody in here. So let me just start with you men. Men, let me ask you, are you a Christian only when your wife is watching? I mean, let me ask men, is your wife the Christian for the family in your home? Is she the one that leads this home spiritually and has any resemblance of the presence of the Lord in there? Your wife reads the Bible. Your wife prays for the family. Your wife prays at the altar. Whenever you're not watching, your wife writes the tithe check and sneaks it into the basket. Because, boy, you'd be furious if you knew how much she gave to the church. And the fact is, you only come to church when she's in town and makes everybody. What concerns me is, just like Aaron, just like the Hebrews, as soon as Moses is not right there, they start forming a gold calf. Man, is your relationship with the Lord strong when your wife is not there? When you're out of town on a business trip and you're in a hotel without your wife, how is your relationship with the Lord? Men, do you live godly? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus in your own life? Have you asked Jesus to be your Lord? Or is your relationship, y'all, she's the Christian for us. Try that at Judgment Day. I hate to break it to you, but she's not going to be standing there talking to God. Well, come on, God. You know, he's a good guy. He's got a good heart. Your wife ain't going to be making no more excuses for you when you stand in front of God telling them that you're really not as bad as you seem to be. Young people, let me swing to y'all. Let the men have a little break. Your parents drag you down here to church. Your parents pray for you every night. Your parents concerned about who your friends are. Your parents are worried about what time you come home. Your parents are worried about where you are and what you're doing and what you're going to get involved in that's going to kill you. Parents keep you in line, and they're out of town for one weekend, and you did what? Let me talk right now real quick, since we're in this time of the year we are. You're about to go off to college. You're about to been raised by Christian family your whole life and made to be a Christian. And you go off to college, and in 1 month, we hear about you doing what? Our theme this year, Jesus is Lord. Young people, I know he's Lord for our youth pastor here at this church. There's no doubt in my mind. Men, I know he's Lord for your wife. That's obvious. My question is he Lord in your life? Is he Lord for you? Summer camp counselors, is Jesus Lord for you? You know, at summer camp, boy, you can come here. I mean, morning devotions, evening vespers, and we're singing about the Lord, and you get all caught up, and your relationship with God can be through the camp. Camp's over and Moses ain't here. For our applied life interns, I mean, living here on church campus, their college campus is right here. How far off can you go living at the church? I mean, my goodness. What a Christian college, a Bible college, intern program. You're in constant contact with God. Living in our dorms, going to New Testament class. Matter of fact, if you don't get up for morning prayer, Paul will be knocking on your door to make, you're going to pray. Bow your head. You're going to get out of bed, and you're going to pray, and Paul's going to watch you. I better see your lips moving. I mean, you're working an internship in this ministry. 40 days, Moses was gone. 40 days, Moses was gone. I know Paul's a Christian. I know Jason's a Christian. I know B's a Christian. I know Lindley's a Christian. I know Brandon's a Christian. All of our teachers here, I know they're a Christian. But in 40 days, whenever they're not around you and you've gone off by yourself, are you melting your rings and worshiping a gold idol somewhere? Young people. Parents have greatly sacrificed to send you to a private Christian school. Parents raised you in church, taught you the importance of a godly lifestyle, and you go off to college, and in 1 month, what are you doing? I'm asking today, I'm not asking, is our church made Jesus Lord? I'm not asking, are our families in here making Jesus Lord? I'm asking, are you? Is he your Lord? You by yourself, is he your Lord that can sustain you with your parents or without your parents? Is he your Lord that can sustain you with your youth pastor or without your youth pastor? Is he your Lord? He can sustain you with your wife in the hotel room or without your wife in the hotel room. Is he your Lord? Turn me to Genesis chapter 3. I want all of you to see this. Genesis chapter 3. We read about Adam and Eve disobeying God in chapter 3, verse 8. You read about Adam and Eve disobeying God, and you just know this. When you disobey God, you're going to walk in guilt. That's the first thing going to happen. You're going to be guilty. When you disobey God, the first thing that's going to happen is guilt. The second thing is you're going to have to hide. I wasn't there. I didn't do that. No, I wasn't with them. No, huh, son, where were you? I didn't do anything. I mean, the first thing that you got to do is hide. You're going to be guilty, and then you got to hide. That's what sin produces. Oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be cool. It's going to, it'll make you feel good. No, it won't. It'll ruin your stinking life. Be eat up with guilt, and you'll have to hide and dodge the truth for the rest of your life and make up lies to cover for what you did. Don't be falling into that trap. It says Adam and Eve hid from the presence of God. It's very interesting. I don't know if you've ever read verse 9. I don't know if you've ever seen verse 9 in chapter 3 of Genesis. But we got God calling out, Adam, where are you? Has that ever struck you as a little odd? The creator of the universe that holds the solar system, the universe, in the palm of his hand. The creator of the universe that sees the beginning from the end, the Alpha and the Omega, is now losing at hide and go seek. I don't know if verse 9 ever struck you as weird, but it does me. God, you need to be sharper than that. Adam, where are you? I can't find you. Come out. I mean, God's losing at hide and go seek. Are you kidding me? Here's what you got to know. God knows where Adam is. God wants Adam to know where Adam is. And God knows where you are today. And you need to know that God knows where you are today. God wants you today to know where you are today. You got to come to a place where you make Jesus your Lord. Is he your Lord? Today, where are you? I'm not talking to your wife. I'm not talking to our youth pastor. I'm not talking to your friend. I'm not talking to the other camp counselors. I'm talking to you. Is he your Lord? We're going to find out when Moses isn't there. We'll find out when what you've had your relationship with God through is not there. We say Jesus is Lord. Well, is he? Matthew 7:20, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their fruit. When Jesus is Lord, there is fruit of that. When Jesus is somebody's Lord, there is fruit of that. When someone makes Jesus Lord, there is fruit of that in your life. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. It's over in the new part toward the back. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Now, let me, who is he writing this to? Not the thug on the street. Who's he writing this to? He's writing to those sitting in church at Galatia. He's writing to people who are sitting in church when he says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Here's what you got to know. Number one, you got to know you have a sinful nature. Number two, you got to know it craves to rebel against God. Verse 17, the sinful nature wants to do evil. It just wants to do evil, which is opposite of what the Spirit wants for your life. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. There were things that you used to desire, you used to crave, you used to plan for. And now that you're saved, you look back and you can't even believe you did something so stupid. That's the dumbest thing in the world. You, see, you have been given new desires when the Holy Spirit is directing your life. These two forces are constantly, underline that word, these two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Whenever you make Jesus Lord, there is a difference in your life. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. See, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. I like verse 22, but. Verse 22 starts out with, but. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against it, there is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to its cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let's also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. It's clear. There are fruits of the Holy Spirit being in charge of your life, and there are fruits of your sinful nature being in charge of your life. And I'm not talking about 20 years ago when you were 10 years old. I'm not talking about when you were in children's church. I'm not talking about a decision you made a long time ago. I'm talking about every minute of every day, the decisions you're making during the day. And whenever I am standing in line at Walmart, and I've been standing there for a long time while they're adding up their groceries, and the lady says, that will be, and gives them the amount. The lady looks and goes, oh. And then she turns and gets her purse and starts fumbling. I've been watching this happen. Ma'am, she's about to tell you your total. Get your purse out, get it open, get your money in your hand. That'll be $19. Oh, okay. Whenever that's inside me, here's what I can know. I don't care what happened when I was 11 years old in children's church. Here's what I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. The Holy Spirit ain't in control right now. Here's what you can know. Many of you don't have a temper and aren't moody, but I fight my temper every second. And it's like it's a never-ending list of people who make me mad. And I'm on the job site, and I can feel my heart coming into my throat, and then I feel it beating behind my eyes. And this guy bad needs a cussing, and I'm the one to deliver it right now. Here's what I can know. Holy Spirit is not in charge of your life. Because, see, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, is patience, is gentleness. And so what I've got to do is I've got to change who is Lord right now in my life. See, it happens. In the past tense of salvation, you accepted Jesus in your heart in 1973. But daily, you're taking up your cross. Daily, you are choosing to follow Him. And in the twinkling of an eye, I will be saved. So you've got to understand, we're not going to have different denominations all fighting each other about once saved, always saved, or working your way into heaven, or when the rapture comes, because salvation is all of those. Salvation includes every area of our life. I did accept Jesus as Lord. Right now in the line of Walmart, I'm needing this one more verse of just as I am without one plea. I'm needing to come down and take the pastor's hand right now. I got to ask Jesus into my heart right now because I'm mad. And that's not a fruit of the Spirit. See, each day you've got to choose the Lordship of Jesus in your life. Those who belong to Christ. Those who have made Jesus Lord. Here's what they do. Look in verse 24. They nail their passions and their desires of their sinful nature to the cross. And they crucify them there. Every day, you got to take those sinful desires. Every day, you got to take your sinful nature and you have to nail it to the cross. Every day, as your sinful nature wants to take control of you, you have to nail that to the cross. Every day, as that thing rises up inside you and you want to lash out, you want to say something that's ungodly, you want to say something that's not right, every day when you want to react in a way that's not right, you have to nail that to the cross. You have to nail that to the cross. What we're asking is He? Is He? Now, this is a neat billboard, and it's up here in front of our church, and it's kind of color coordinated, and it looks good with the lights on it. Here's what I'm asking today, is He? Is He? And I'm not asking, is He for this church? I'm asking, is He for you? Is He for you? Now, we're going to close here in a few minutes. And when I do, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I am going to pray, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to touch God. When I pray, I'm going to enter into the presence of God, and I'm going to touch God as I pray. While I'm doing that, you will be given a choice. You will be given a choice. As I pray, you can daydream. You can think about where you're going for lunch. As I pray, you can be so excited. Because Sunday night, we got the first preseason game tonight. Been waiting all day. Sunday night. I mean, you got a choice. What you going to think about? Say, I'm getting ready to pray. Now, you got a choice. Bow your head and kind of think, start gathering your stuff and getting your purse ready and getting ready to go. And think about what you're going to order when you go stand in line for an hour and a half at the restaurant. I mean, you got a choice. Or you can reach out to God for yourself. See, you are, when I pray and I enter into the presence of God through prayer, you can touch God for yourself. See, God has allowed you to make that choice as an individual. All of our kids in here, when I stand, ask you to stand and we start praying, you can mess around, play around, think about something else, or you can bow your head and you can really touch God. All of our teens, you can stand beside your parents and you can let them pray and you can let them touch God for you, or you as a teenager can bow your head and have a relationship with the Lord on your own. That it doesn't matter if Moses is here or not here, you're going to still be serving God. You're going to still be serving God. You'll have a relationship on your own that when you go off to college, it'll hold you. Whenever you're at work and you're working around a bunch of non-Christians, it will hold you. Whenever you're in a hotel room and your wife is not there, you'll have a relationship with God that can hold you. So I'm asking today, is He? Is He, and is He for you? And God has allowed each one of us to make that decision for you. And here's what you got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Nobody can do that for you. A praying, believing, God, Bible reading grandmother cannot get you into heaven. Cannot. Nobody can do that for you. A wife that prays, seeks God, reads her word, she cannot do it for you. She cannot do it for you. Now, I'm not going to ask everybody in here to bow their head, close your eyes, and I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. I'm not going to ask anybody to come down here and take my hand, because you can do both of those and never touch God. You can do both of those and never touch God. But all of us will know whether you touch God or not. You don't have to walk down here and take my hand. We will know. In a few weeks, we'll know in a year, we'll know in 6 months. There won't be any doubt in anybody's mind if you touched God or not. It's not a matter of coming down here and taking my hand. It's a matter of a different fruit being born in your life. That is the result of Jesus becoming Lord. The result of Jesus becoming Lord is worry and fear being replaced by peace and joy. See, a result is not you slipping a hand up and slipping it back down, but it's self-control and gentleness and not your temper and anger running wild. See, a result will be manifest in your life. Today's message is He. I want to ask y'all to stand with me. If today you've had to deal with, you know what? There's no question about it. He's my parents, Lord. There's no question about it. He's my wife's Lord. There's no question about it. He's my teacher's Lord. You've had to deal with the fact today that, yeah, there's a lot of people in this church that have made Him Lord, but individually, you by yourself, maybe He's not yours. You know, right time would be to change that? It would be right now. Right now. Father, today, as I enter into Your presence and I ask the power and the anointing of Your Holy Spirit to touch every heart in this room, we ask You into our heart. Right now, I ask You to make Jesus Lord of your life. For you. Not for your fellow camp counselors or your dorm mate or your teachers. Right now, I'm asking You, Jesus, I make You my Lord. Regardless of whether Moses is with me or not, You will be my Lord. Regardless of where I go and who I'm with, I make You my Lord. Today, I roll the cares of this life off over on You. I roll the lordship of this life off of me and onto You. I invite Your presence into my heart. And today, I make You Lord of my life. I take in Your peace. I take in Your joy. I take in Your gentleness and Your meekness. I live in Your patience. I live in Your assurance. Today, I make You Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.